The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers, and we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/sims and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/sims, S-I-M-M-S. Thanks for your help.
We need the drum roll here because this is big, because either this quarterback is number one or outside of your top 40. This is crazy, right? There's no in between here. There's only one spot left.
Oh, yeah, baby. What's up? It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned, episode number 509. Ahmed Fareed is here. He's wearing his red pants, so you know it's a special edition of the show.
Big day.
Hope everybody's good. Morgan is here. Have no fear. She just sat down. She's looking at her phone. She's getting everything ready for us here. But it's a good day. Hope you're good. You have a good weekend last weekend?
Good weekend. I was back home.
Yeah.
Back in Michigan.
Back in the D?
Back in the D, yeah.
You in the D12?
Yeah, now 3-1-3.
Yeah.
Right? And they have it on the field now, which I really do like that.
I've seen that, right.
Now I did grow up like 2.5 hours away from Grant.
Don't spare us those details.
I feel like Michigan is only known for Detroit. It's a giant state with an upper peninsula too.
Peninsula.
The Oopers.
Yeah.
But no, it was cool.
Don't tell me that. I have visioned you on the 8 Mile Road than B Rabbit with you and Eminem. So okay, that's
as
where
do
you
most people
you.
Listening to me on this.
It gives
pod.
You street cred, right?
Yeah.
So don't tell them you're out from somewhere way out from there.
They're like that guy with glasses on the Chris Sims pod. He's probably tough. He probably grew up in the streets. No, it was cool. It was cool to be back. Saw some friends back there. Saw my Detroit Tigers get a lead for most of the game and then blow it in the ninth inning.
Sounds
so
Detroitish.
It was very Tigerish.
Have you been to that stadium before?
Comerica, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that one. There's a bunch of new stadiums in baseball, or I consider that new, or,
yes.
you know, or newer,
yep.
that I want to see that look like they have a great setting, right? I always am envious of that one, the one in Pittsburgh. Because the city's right there in the background. It looks all, like, walkable, so you don't have to worry about driving home drunk or anything like that or whatever, right?
Yeah, no, it has a great sight line when you look out into center field.
Looks awesome.
And also, there were people everywhere because that weekend – this past weekend also, Taylor Swift was there.
Damn.
It was the Taylor Swift Eras Tour.
She's everywhere.
She's everywhere. So who knows if it was the real Taylor Swift. It just might have been one of her clones. But they were there. They were right across the street at Ford Field, which is right next door.
I was going to say, they played inside at the bigger venue.
Yeah, the Lions Stadium. So it was crazy.
You see some family and friends this weekend?
Yep, saw some friends while I was over there. But it's really a quick trip. Saturday and Sunday, and then I'm out.
And you're out. So what are you, like Saturday dinner did you do?
He came to the game. My buddy came to the game.
Cool.
And then we watched it on Saturday and then worked on Sunday with Nick Swisher. And had fun, as we always do. You know
me. Had fun. I mean, you in the dirt and the sand here recently. I mean, you're running on tracks at the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness.
Yes.
And now we got some other video evidence of you.
So we have a question from Corey Joskowitz about this.
Right.
He goes, Chris, can you break down the legs and A on this guy? His interviews seem promising, but a little concerned about the field upside. So
yeah, I hear you, Corey. You're right.
At the end of the show, I decided that I was going to fulfill a lifelong dream and run the bases at Comerica Park.
Oh, don't let them in.
They almost didn't. They're like, who are you, sir, and why are you doing this? So here are the kids running if you're listening to the pod and not watching on Peacock or YouTube. Why am I so upright?
Why are you so proper form? Like, I got to stay right here and keep the arms in. And it looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, not bad.
I mean, you got a nice, smooth run.
I'm calling out kids for passing me. You're not supposed to do that on the base pads.
I would have liked to have seen you turn into, like, fifth gear here, just down the third baseline.
Much slower than I thought it was going to be.
And you didn't step on home?
Well, I didn't know if you were supposed to or not.
What the fuck are you doing?
That lady was guarding it, but then the
producer. Thank you.
Ryan Burke in my ear, our producer, goes.
Said, touch home.
He goes, touch home. What are you doing?
What
touch home plate.
What are you doing? Yeah. You got to touch home plate.
I was like, they might throw me out of here.
Yeah, I'm about to throw you off the pod if I didn't you just go back and touch there. What were you doing? Yeah. Finish the job, son.
What was I doing is a great question.
I don't know.
It's a great question because I got the idea to do that like 30 seconds before the end of the show. It was Swisher's last show, and so I was like, I'm going to run the bases. I'm
in Detroit. Bases.
Why not?
Right.
I didn't know if I was going to get thrown out, but it was fun. But it was, yes, slower than I thought.
Yeah.
And it was the best posture I have ever had in my life.
I mean, damn. Damn, you were totally upright there. Never let the arm angle go down. You didn't look like you were sweating. You were okay.
No, I was fine.
So it was like a nice, comfortable morning there.
Yep.
All right, good. Yeah. How are the Tigers doing? I'm not even really
sure.
Not good.
They've not won in June. They're 0-9 in June.
Damn.
So they were like a game and a half out of first place in May, and now they're terrible. But
okay.
Yeah. All right. It's June 12th. We're like mid-June now, and they're still waiting.
So you guys aren't any good.
So a lot going on this week. What'd you do this weekend?
Total dad stuff this weekend. No, nothing special. Yeah, I got nothing like doubleheader baseball yesterday, Saturday. My mom and my aunt came to the house. Friday night was baseball. There was a game and my daughter and getting her where she needed to go. That was about it. It was simple, but I'm down for simple right now. This was the first weekend, and I don't know how long, that I didn't have to watch film of something to go, I need to prepare for a quarterback counting, a draft ranking, whatever, a game to break down, whatever. So that was, like, nice to not, like, be – I have something on my radar all the time to go, oh, I need to watch this and dive into this a little bit.
We have 1 week left before we take the hiatus here. And my wife was asking me, she goes, what? Will Chris still look at things while you guys are off for like a month? And I go, there's really not anything to look at.
No,
that's the cool thing about this part of the calendar.
We're getting to the point right now, and I meant to ask Florio this today, because like, we are doing PFT Live, right? It's our last week of that as well, where I got to look. I've lost track. What teams are even still in football right now? What teams are actually still going at this moment?
Yeah.
It's a limited number, if any, actually. I'm not even sure if anything is going on this week in the NFL. You know, most teams broke last week. They get to that mid-June, you know, and it's 5 weeks away.
But if they are doing anything, it's just practice.
It's practice, and it's easy practice. That's why you see some of these teams just wipe away that last 2 or 3 days because they just go, oh, we got this far without getting anybody hurt. Let's just call it quits and get to training camp, right? And that's what you saw the Jets do, a number of teams do. I think that's kind of their thought process in that, though.
But we're not done yet.
Never.
We still have a week. Two pods, and so we're going to do something a little bit differently. So we got some reaction to your top 40 quarterback list. We'll get to that later on in the pod. Time permitting, and I say time permitting because
Pete, this could be tough to unpack here.
Pete cooked up something.
We got some work in front
for
of
the
us
hiatus.
Here.
So Pete will be busy during the break, setting up Twitter polls because we want to crown the greatest 21st century player in the NFL.
Yeah.
So by the end of this whole thing, we want to have the one person who is the greatest player from the year 2000 to the year 2022, except we're excluding quarterbacks.
That's right. Damn those quarterbacks who get all that attention all the time. So, yeah, I think I like this. We talk about quarterbacks constantly. We know how important the quarterbacks are. We know Tom Brady's the best player in Patriots organization, right?
Yes.
I think there's legit debate, though, about who is those next guy in some of these teams. And then there's great debate, and I think what we're going to try to do is narrow it down to a 4-, 5-, 6-man list to let the homies vote on it. And I think there's great debate in that, too, to the point where I'm nervous. I'm really nervous that this is going to come back and fly. Like somebody's going to be like, you forgot this guy, and I'm going to go, I can't believe we forgot that guy. We're such idiots.
So
right?
here's
that's
how,
what I'm
yes,
scared
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that is going to happen. But that's okay. I've already said that. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to give the finalists for each of these teams. We're going to go through every team. We're going to go through the NFC here today. And we're going to give the homies like four players to vote on.
According to what team, like your Detroit Lions, it's hard to find five.
I know.
I'm not sure we can find
them. We originally tried to do 10, and then we couldn't even get 10. We had to like make up some players. And so we'll give the finalists. And then the homies will say, all right, we want this player to represent this team.
Yeah.
And then once we get that, we'll do an actual bracket where these players, these team representatives, as voted on by the homies, will then go against these other team representatives, and then we'll whittle it down to one player, the player of the 21st century.
I like it.
In the NFL.
The homies shall have their say.
The homies will definitely have their say. We will give them the finalists, but to your point, if we leave someone out, and you think that they should be in the finalist group,
yeah,
you can tweet us
please.
Afterwards, make a well-reasoned argument.
Right, and we'll address it on the next pod and see if we can infuse it in there or if it makes sense.
Exactly.
But we're the judge and the jury.
We are the judge and the jury.
As far as it comes to the final list.
Yes. The final, right? Yeah, the final list of finalized players.
Right.
But then the homies will pick the player.
Yes.
And then that's all up to them.
That's all up to them. All right, cool.
It is out of our hands after we determine these finalists here. So let's start in the NFC East. Why don't we do that, right?
Let's do it.
Although it does seem like we always, in the NFL, it's like the NFC East, we always start.
It does seem to start there.
East Coast bias, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know. I don't know. Well, let's think about that. Actually, that's a good conversation in itself. Out of all the divisions in football in the NFC, who's the division that's won the most Super Bowls? Mm. I would think the NFC East is probably actually leading that, so therefore they get to be first.
Okay, eat that.
I got them apples.
I got that. I will.
I think that's actually interesting. I never even thought about that. But you think about the Cowboys, right? They've won 5. The Giants 4. The Eagles 1. And then Washington with 3.
Yeah.
I would think that's in the leader house there.
They're the Kings. So that's why they start this list. We have just determined it.
All right.
So we'll start with the Cowboys in the NFC East. And if you're watching on YouTube or Peacock, we will try to have the names of the players that are in consideration here up for a lot of it. But if you're listening to the pod, let's go. I'm going to read them. I'm just going to go through them.
Yeah, please do. The ones
that Pete has determined are in the discussion for the best player of the 21st century for the Cowboys. You got Zeke Elliott at running back, Terrell Owens, Dez Bryant, Larry Allen, the guard, Tyron Smith at tackle, Zach Martin, the guard, Jason Witten at tight end, DeMarcus Ware, linebacker, and Micah Parsons at linebacker. There's a lot to consider here. Those are some greats of the great. I guess where we should do this is just put in the slam dunk ones right away.
I think so. I think that's the best way to do it, right? Let's just go slam dunk right off the bat. And I think that there's 3 on the right side of our column that I think are slam dunk. You know, at least DeMarcus Ware, right?
Yeah.
I think that's slam dunk. I think Jason Witten slam dunk, right? You're agreeing with me?
We'll see.
Okay.
I'm just waiting to see how many slam dunks you have.
Zach Martin, I'm going to go slam dunk there. I think Zach Martin's on his way to being a Hall of Fame guard, right? So those are 3 for sure. Damn. I know.
You're like, everyone that Pete has put on this list.
Because Tyron Smith, you know, like, Micah's not going to make it.
Micah's
awesome, and if we do this 5 years from now, he's on the list probably.
Not enough.
But not enough right now. Right? So now where is, like, Tyron Smith, of course, is awesome as well. You know? And then there's the Terrell Owens conversation, but it's only 3 years, and I'm inclined not to put him on there for only a 3-year run.
Agreed. Because I would put Dez Bryant above of Terrell Owens, just because of what he did with the Cowboys.
Sure. So we got all right, so you're not sold on my 3 yet, but you're sold on which part? DeMarcus Ware and Zach Martin, at least?
DeMarcus Ware, Zach Martin.
Okay. Ezekiel Elliott? You want to throw him in that combo? You know, I think he's worthy of it. When you talk about, so this is a team that could maybe have 6. I don't
know.
Larry Allen is an interesting one, too.
Well, Larry Allen was 94.
Like, I know.
His best years,
right. He still was good in those early 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, but and Larry Allen, I mean, he's an all-time great. That's where it's a tough one, too, here. Right? So, as we stand here right now, the only ones I want to cross off for sure are Terrell Owens and Micah Parsons. And then the rest of the group, like, I think what we got to get down to here, I mean, Jason Witten is going to the Hall of Fame. I don't think we can not have him on the list.
You're right.
He's one of the generation's best tight ends. I think if we talk about the last 20 years, right, you're going to talk about Gronk, Tony Gonzalez, and then I think Jason Witten is the next guy that comes up in that conversation at that position, at least the ones that were mainly in this century.
And his career spanned almost all of the 2000s,
It really did. His longevity and you know, the quality. So it's got everything there.
It's just his broadcasting career wasn't that great. So maybe I'm holding
that
against him.
Left a bad taste in our mouth.
All right, Jason Witten's in.
Okay, so we got 3 for sure. Are we going to say Dez for sure? Mm. Are you going to say Dez over an Zeke Elliott? Are you going to say Dez over a Tyron Smith? Like, see, I feel like Tyron Smith has to be on there, too. I feel like we have to have Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Jason Witten, DeMarcus Ware on. And then we got to figure out who's the next one on that group that we add.
So I think Dez deserves
to
be in there. Because what is he? Does he still hold the Cowboys record for touchdown receptions?
I believe he does.
So I'm feeling like Dez needs to be there.
Yeah. So this, maybe what we're saying here is we think this is a team that needs six.
And then Zeke is not on this finalist list?
Larry Allen is really the tough part to me.
Because it's the end of 94 to 2005.
Let's He's still really on. Good. I mean, Larry Allen's in the conversation.
And he was on the all 2000s team, too, in the
NFL.
So
that's where I...
Yeah, he had 11 Pro Bowls total. Five were in the 2000s. So I think you're right.
You got to put him, right?
I think we got to put him in there. Give him his chance. So that would be six players.
It's
right?
six players.
I think that's good with the Cowboys. Six players, the finalists for the best of the 21st century.
Think we'll get pushback on the Ezekiel Elliott thing?
Not putting him in there?
Yeah. It's close.
But could he win? Out of those players, is he going to win?
You're right. He's not going to win. I think that's a fair thing to say.
I think that's what we
should consider. That's a good way to assess it. All right, good, good. There was nobody else we're missing, right? No other DB, nobody that's coming to my mind.
No, that's the homie's job now.
I know. I'm just getting scared.
They're fact checking
us now. All right, cool, cool.
All right, we move on now to the Giants.
All right.
This should be, it might be more difficult. I'm not going to list all the names we have here. We'll just kind of do it the way we did it last time.
Yeah.
Like, who's a slam dunk
right.
from the 2000s? Got to be in the finalist list.
I go, again, I know that everybody out there is not privy to our computer here, but we have a column of guys, and I go to the right column again, and I want to say that there's four on the right column that I think have to be in. All right, Michael Strahan. He has to be in.
Yes.
Right? Justin Tuck, for my money, has to be in. O.C. Umanura, same thing. I mean, they won two Super Bowls because of those three guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were, other than Eli Manning, they're the biggest things going. And then I look at Jason Pierre-Paul, who helped them win one of them, but went through a phase where, I mean, he was the best defense end in football for 4 or 5 years. So that's where I look at that group right there. And even though we got some impressive names we'll hit here on the offense, I feel like they were more staples of the Giants' greatness through those first, you know, 22 years.
Yeah, you've got four edge guys already in.
Holy crap. It just tells you what. No wonder they won two Super Bowls.
That's
right?
True.
You know?
Tiki Barber. Yeah, Tiki Barber and Saquon Barkley. I combined them.
I tend to lean Tiki on that conversation. You know, again, we're talking about the player.
Yeah.
I think, you know, first off, Saquon, the injury, it's still early in his career. Yeah, he hasn't quite got the support to show what he totally can do until last year maybe. So I think he gets crossed out. Uh-huh. You know, Tiki was special. He was a guy that could run for 1,000 and receive for 1,000. We can't let what he was or how he's viewed by the public, you know, interfere in this. This is a football-only exercise. So yeah. Just because some people didn't like him on TV or radio or how he said some things about Eli Manning at the early part of Eli Manning's career does not mean he gets taken off here. We're talking about football only.
Yep.
So that's where I'm inclined to keep him on there, at least for this moment here.
He's the team's, what, all-time leading rusher?
Exactly. There you go.
Some of those years were in the late 90s.
Late 90s, right.
Yeah, put him in the finalist group, for sure.
I think so. You know, I mean, he was the main offensive weapon for a team that went to the Super Bowl in this year 2000, right? That was 2000.
Yeah.
So that to me is where he stays. So at least for right now, we got five. Now it gets into some interesting wide receiver conversation, Ahmed. What do you think?
So,
here?
Yeah, we should pick maybe the top wide receiver of this group. We've got Amani Toomer. We've got Plexico Burress, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and Odell Beckham.
Man, that's some guys right there.
Victor Cruz, what, 7 years?
Yeah. Victor Cruz, I mean, he was, you know, a camp buzz, undrafted, came out of nowhere, and, you know, became a star of the team for a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
Hakeem Nicks, man, we don't win the second Super Bowl against the Patriots without him and, you know, the play he makes up in Green Bay and some of the things he did in that football game. I don't think anybody had more of a direct effect for success for the quarterback and the offense out of any of those receivers maybe than Plexico. Plexico right. was a mismatch nightmare. I don't know. The more I sit here and look at this, the more I think we have our five. I don't know if I think any of the receivers, even though they were all great, I don't know if any of them were great enough to be in the top five of the century conversation.
There's no one that stands out above the other one. Right.
If Odell had another year or two or three there in New York, I think he makes the list. But, you know, it was a five-year stint, and he was out of there. So that's where I kind of land on, I kind of seem to land on some of the old heads here.
I agree with you. Like, Amani Toomer's got some records, but maybe
he's
not
the man, right? Giants legend. But I mean, he's not winning, I think, but to your point, that's a nice thing. I think it's a good question.
He's
to
not
going to
be the guy.
He's not going to be the guy, nor do I think anybody would make him the final two or three guys out of the guys we've mentioned. I think we're on to something. You know, I think that's fair. You know, I know Chris Snee is in that conversation.
Guard.
Sean O'Hara, right? Yeah. The great center. He'd probably be another guy that deserves to be in the conversation and their greatness and what they did for, you know, the Giants football team. But I think we got the five there.
The most receiving yards in the 2000s for the Giants is Amani Toomer with 7,600. Right. Odell Beckham is a couple thousand behind them. But, yeah, I think the wide receivers, didn't make the final group. They're all great. Worthy of discussion.
Right.
They should not feel bad that they're not a finalist in this
team. G-men football.
This is G-men football.
It's D-line and running back. It's the G-men.
Other names that Pete considered were Brandon Jacobs, running back, Jeremy Shockey, the tight end.
Man.
Antonio Pierce, the linebacker. So,
yeah.
Some good names for the Giants.
Some great names. They got a lot of guys like that
who are
like, you know, next level stars here in the area. I mean, Jeremy Shockey, man, when he came out of the scene, come on, he was one of the first of his kind. If anybody, like, if you weren't around or you weren't, you know, you were too young to remember, Jeremy Shockey came into the NFL and we were all like, who is this crazy dude that just runs over people and doesn't care about anything? I mean, it was amazing. He was a little bit Gronkish before Gronk, except maybe a little more, you know, rock band way about him than Gronk, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
He got us ready for Gronk.
He
got us prepared.
It was a stepping stone.
The Gronk era. All right, so that's the Giants.
Yeah.
And now we move on to the Eagles. Fewer names here. Is that just your New York Giants bias, Pete?
Of course it is.
Not as many names for the Eagles here, but we do have some studs, obviously.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
If you're watching on Peacock or YouTube, you're seeing them right now. So listen, who are your slam dunk guys right now? I feel like for me, some big dudes here.
Gosh, they got some names here. The Eagles, I mean, there's no, what I love about this exercise is that you understand why teams are who they are. And then you go, well, now I know why the Eagles have been to three Super Bowls this century and a bunch of NFC championship games and seem like they've been in the playoffs almost every year except for a year or two here and there. So that's like, I think the first thing, Jason Kelce. And Jason Peters, the two Jasons go in right away for me.
I think so.
Right?
I mean, offensive line, so Lane Johnson.
Yeah, I think we got to put him, too.
I think so, too. We have two tackles in the center in already. We know you're going to put in Fletcher Cox.
I mean, it's like, duh. I don't know. Did we just talk about four Hall of Famers right there? I think that might be four Hall of Famers. That's what's amazing.
Fletcher Cox was on the all-2010s team.
Fletcher Cox was the best defensive tackle in football until Aaron Donald came around, and then it was him and Aaron Donald were the best in football for a while. And then just here recently, Fletcher Cox was supplanted by the Jeffrey Simmons and the Chris Jones of the world. But he's still damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I mean, it's fucking crazy, the Eagles. It really is. I want to go Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox. We got to put Brian Dawkins in.
He's in the actual Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, 9-time Pro Bowler.
And he's an ex-teammate of mine in Denver.
So, you have to do that.
I got to, right? He'll beat me up.
So, he's definitely in. So, that leaves the names that Pete has put here who we have not already put in. Brian Westbrook, the running back, 2002 to 2009. LeSean McCoy, of course. And then DeSean Jackson. I feel
the
like
two
already,
names. Oof. I know. I feel like we're good, but I also look at like, man, Westbrook and McCoy. Wow. And then the other name that I throw in there, Westbrook, McCoy, and Brandon Graham, I do think deserves to be in this conversation. I do. I mean, Brandon Graham, you can look it up. What's his career sacks right now? 88, 90? I'm going to guess he's somewhere
70.
He's at 70. All right, it's a little lower than I thought. No disrespect there.
Only one Pro Bowl.
Only one Pro Bowl, okay. Damn, they had David Akers, too. I mean, they could legitimately go, man, David Akers could be on the list of our football team here. Damn, Zach Ertz, we forget about him and what he did there.
John Runyon.
If you had to pick between LeSean and Brian Westbrook, where would you go there?
I think I would go LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I think I would, too. And I really love Brian Westbrook, and he was a big part of those Donovan McNabb championship Super Bowl team. But, yeah, LeSean McCoy was just – I think that we should have six for them.
Yep.
I think we're on a six team here. I think this is a Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, Brian Dawkins, and we throw in LeSean McCoy in there as well.
Yep, LeSean McCoy is the franchise record holder in rushing yards.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and he could win it, too.
I think he could.
I'll be interested to see if there's an offensive bias.
I know.
Or
right.
A big dude bias, because I feel like we have a little big dude bias.
We are big dude. Well, we are.
Give him some credit.
Yeah, we're prone to, when in doubt, give the big dude the love.
Yes.
I think the Eagles fans are smart enough football fans, right, that they're going to they appreciate the big dudes, too.
Yep.
Right? Now, I mean, you know, they might throw a battery into my head when I walk out of the building here later, but they yes. know their football.
Yes.
All right? So that's what I do know, for sure.
They would argue that's why they're throwing a battery at your head.
Yeah, they know it better than you.
What are you talking about?
Here's a beer can to your head.
All right, so that's good. That's an Eagles final six that are very
final
formidable.
Six, I think so.
Very formidable.
And that's a tough, I mean, that was tough. That really was.
We move on to Washington, the final team in the NFC Beast.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of names. We got some linebackers, a lot of linebackers here.
A lot
here.
Of linebackers.
LeVar Arrington, London Fletcher, Brian Arakpo, Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Hall in the secondary.
Three that really come to me right away. Three that just like wham, bam, thank you, man.
Let me try to guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
So are you going to go Trent Williams?
You know that.
Okay.
100%. Trent Williams is, I think, in the conversation for the best tackle of our era.
Yep.
Right? So I'm with you there. Now, who do you think my other two that are slam dunks?
Oof. Are you going to go LeVar Arrington?
Nope.
No.
Not slam dunk. Not okay. yet. He's up for conversation here.
Okay.
He's up for conversation. That corner, though.
D'Angelo Hall.
I'm going to go D'Angelo. D'Angelo was phenomenal football player. You know, longevity and the quality all match up. Quantity and quality. So that's where I would go D'Angelo Hall. And then
Ryan Kerrigan.
I don't know. London Fletcher was where I was going to go first.
You know what? London Fletcher was. So I was in Virginia Beach,
right,
covering the local team then,
sure,
which were not called the
right
football team or the Commanders,
yep,
then. But he was like the heart and soul of
definitely,
that team.
Definitely the leader of the team. Probably one of the most underrated linebackers, you know, of the era, just because he wasn't sexy or loud or, you know, didn't have a good dance after he made a tackle or whatever else. He was undersized, right? So I think that's where I'm a little, yeah, I'm prone to put him in there. I think definitely he deserves to be in that conversation.
I think Ryan Kerrigan definitely deserves to be in.
I think so.
He is the
all-time
leader
franchise
in sacks. Yes, he is. Pete says yes.
Right?
95 and a half in his career.
And that's impressive. And with a franchise like Washington, it's, yep, got Charles Mann and Dexter Manley in his career. So I'm with you there. So we got four right there, right? Is that, mm-hmm, five now? That's four.
Four.
Okay.
So other names to consider.
Yeah.
Running back Clinton Portis. Wide receiver Santana Moss. Tight end Chris Cooley. And guard Brandon Scherff.
Yeah, I know. Brandon Scherff. Yeah, the other one I look at is Chris Samuels. You know, they got the old lineman for Washington,
okay,
back in the day, the tackle, right? He was a really damn good. I mean, Pete, I don't know if you can look it up on the hurt. Six Pro Bowls, right? He'd be one that probably needs to be in this conversation as well. But you throw him in there, and then we get into Clinton Portis and Santana Moss. Where do you lean on that, mm, right there? I feel like it's for me a little bit where we got four right now, right? And I feel like I want to like go with either Chris Samuels or Santana Moss as that fifth guy.
Yeah.
Right? How do you feel? You got any thoughts about that?
So I'm leaning towards Santana Moss, 2005 to 2014. I think if you're going to pick an offensive player for them that was the most dangerous,
yeah,
player, I feel like it was Santana Moss. But
I think so. It's tough. I mean, Portis was really good. I think I would lend myself to go to Santana Moss as well. But And Pete's in my ear. He's going, you can substitute Chris Samuels for Trent Williams, but I can't because, Pete, you know how highly I think of Trent Williams. So
6-time Pro Bowler for Chris Samuels, the
I know.
Tackle.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, he's saying that Trent Williams would get more love over Chris Samuels.
Yes,
so.
He would. He would. You're right. He definitely would. All right, so I think we got this.
That's
then.
The five: Santana Moss,
yep.
Trent Williams,
yep.
London Fletcher,
right.
Ryan Kerrigan, and
right.
D'Angelo Hall.
Okay,
I like that.
I'm down with that.
Okay,
all right, that's good.
Good
five.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury.
I'm gonna shine my way.
First Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
Place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
NFC East is done.
Yeah.
We closed the book on that. We opened the book to the NFC North because the Lions have won so many Super Bowls in their history, and so we do that. Oh, they're still waiting for their first, but it will come this year.
Your favorite team, Ahmed.
We start with my least favorite team.
Here we go.
The Chicago Bears, the best of the 21st century non-quarterback division. We got some good names on defense. Julius Peppers and Khalil Mack jump out to me. Peanut Tillman at corner.
Yeah.
Ooh, Devin Hester could have our first kick returner.
I know.
Into our finalist group.
Uh-huh.
Brian Urlacher. So we got to put Brian Urlacher in automatically.
Urlacher and Briggs, to me, are automatics.
So Lance Briggs is in. Two linebackers in already.
Lance Briggs and listen, I'm not the only one that would tell you this. Like, Lance Briggs was phenomenal. Like, I don't know. Urlacher squashed Lance Briggs' hype, right?
Mm.
And I have ultimate respect for Brian Urlacher, right? I don't know if I ever thought he should have been the first ballot Hall of Famer like Ray Lewis was. I thought there was a difference there, but definitely a Hall of Famer. But my point of saying that is there was years we played the Bears where we went, Lance Briggs is better than Urlacher this year, right? There was a few, don't get me wrong, there was other years where we went, man, Urlacher's playing great.
Yeah.
He's the man. But I don't know. Whether I was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Tennessee Titans, I think I played the Bears like four or five times in that span there. And, yeah, it was probably half and half on certain years where we went, no, Briggs is the guy we got to worry about this game, right? He's got to worry about Briggs. You know, and then the next year, Urlacher would make a comeback or, you know, he'd probably get sick of people hearing about Briggs being better and then he would be better, right? So
yeah.
Those two, I think those two – Devin Hester, to your point.
I think Devin Hester is
I don't think
is
he
in.
Cannot not be in there. It's the greatest kick returner ever.
Put Devin Hester in
right?
there.
And he's a linchpin of what they are. I mean, we think of that him and them like together. I think Charles Peanut Tillman's another one I got to throw on there. Do you feel that or no? As long as he did it, as well as he played.
2003 to 2014.
He invented the punch-out fumble. I mean, he's the one who made it a thing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't like your lockdown, put him on an island, Darrell Revis corner. I get it, but he was really damn good.
And then he was
an amazing tackler to go on top of that, right? So that's where I lean on those four big time. And then I go, I don't know what the hell to do for the fifth. That's where it gets tough.
So Matt Forte, another name.
I know.
We could throw in here.
Damn. Forte. Olin Kreutz was phenomenal.
6-time Pro Bowler for Olin Kreutz.
He was the...
Yeah, he was on the all 2000s team.
See, that's where that's, Peppers, of course, was really good. But, like, Julius Peppers is a Carolina Panther.
Yeah.
I can't put him on the Bears. I know he had a great little four-year run there.
Yeah, three Pro Bowls, one All-Pro while
right.
he was there.
Right. I just...
He's not going to beat out Brian Urlacher.
No.
Like, this is one that we've come to where I feel like there is a clear... Number one, maybe shouldn't be over Lance Briggs
yeah.
for the reasons you mentioned, but
it's going to be.
I feel like it's going to be.
All right, so but what do you think? We want to put Olin Krutz in? Olin Krutz is the fifth guy? I think so. Olin Krutz is, you know, again, I think he's a borderline Hall of Fame center. And, you know, to play that long, to be that good at that position, he was a staple of those teams that, you know, went to the Super Bowl,
yeah.
made some playoff runs there with Jay Cutler and Rex Grossman. I think that's probably where I would lean.
And no Matt Forte?
As much as I love Matt Forte, no, I think I would just, he'd be on the just on the outside looking in here.
Okay.
And that, it hurts me to say because I think Matt Forte was phenomenal. That's what's so sad about football. Football's got so many legends and there's just so many players that just fall by the wayside that people won't ever realize how good they are. Forte, a legend in my mind. Damn, Akeem Hicks, who was there for a while,
yeah.
he was amazing. Let me bring up another name, a blast from the past. Mike Brown. I don't know if you remember Mike Brown, safety out of Nebraska. I mean, for a while, he was like, he was Bob Sanders. Remember Bob Sanders in the Colts?
Oh, yeah.
It was the same kind of guy. It was like, where is this guy? He's going to ruin the fucking game plan. We have to have him accounted for at all times. But, you know, smaller, compact, kamikaze type guy, right? And they fall apart in a hurry. But a phenomenal football player.
Yeah, he played quite a bit. Nine years in Chicago.
Yeah.
Was a Pro Bowler 1 year, an All-Pro another year. So, but does not make our...
Does not make the list.
Final five, as it is for the Chicago Bears. So, all right, we move on now to the Detroit Lions, from my most hated team to my most loved team.
Can we find two Lions?
This is the smallest list that we have so far. Pete, I gave you like 9 or 10 names. Okay, so this is the first one. So, Kelvin Johnson is in.
Boom.
Kelvin Johnson is in.
We got
in.
Him.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
I'm going to put in a kicker. Jason Hansen was so good for them for so long. Now, a lot of that was late 90s, too. But
yeah, how far did it go into the 2000s?
So 12 years. I mean, he played forever. So yeah, 13 seasons
into
the 2000s.
I think he's got to be on there too.
Partly because he was awesome, and partly because the Lions don't have a lot of awesome players
in
this time frame.
Sure.
So Jason Hansen is in for me.
What about? Yeah, I mean, I feel like. What about Sue? Does Sue make the list for you, even though it's a five-year career?
So dominant while he was there.
He was. I mean, he was, you know, there's a reason he became the highest-paid defensive player ever when he signed the new contract with the Miami Dolphins. He was the best defensive tackle in football. I think we got to put him
he's
on.
He's in. He right? is in there.
And then probably Darius Slay, too. I think Darius Slay has to be in. Now, after that, that's where it gets a little tough to figure out.
Now, Jeff Backus was so good as a tackle, played
yes,
from 2001 to 2012,
right.
but I don't think he was ever, like, the best.
No, I don't know if
played
he ever
so
was
many
either.
Games. I'm looking at him. Like, he played all 16 games every year except his final year. That is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Played his whole career in Detroit. You know what? Throw him in there. Throw in Jeff Backus.
You want to throw him in there?
Just the longevity award. All I want
right,
to give
let's
him
do
a...
It.
You know, Frank Ragnow.
Like Frank, yeah, we're thinking of Frank, but Frank's, you know, it's still early in his career.
Correct.
Taylor Decker's another one that I think is honestly, I mean, Taylor Decker's been, what are we going on here? Year 8 or 9 of him being your franchise left tackle?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty good run, you know? That's what stinks about some of this stuff, too, is just sometimes you need to be on a team that people know you're good.
I know.
You know, like if you're not on national TV and you're not in playoff games, you could be an awesome left tackle, and everyone's like, oh, whoa, I didn't know he was that good of a player. That's the tough thing about football. Hey, got an ex-teammate of mine from college in Texas, Sean Rogers. Sean Rogers was the best nose tackle in football for a short period of time. I mean, he was unblockable. It was like, oh, we're playing Detroit and Sean Rogers. We have to double him. There's no way our center can take him on man-to-man. You know, but I don't think it was long enough. I think we got it. I think we got it.
It.
I think
that's
that
five.
Was a good pull by you guys with Backus because I would have forgot about him off the top of my head. So I like there. I don't think we're missing anybody else. Right?
I don't think so. Ziggy Ansah, maybe in the conversation.
You know, Golden Tate had a good run.
Roy Williams, a couple good years.
Yeah, right. Just nobody ever put together anything. You know, running backs. That's another one where I'm just like, man, Barry Sanders retired, and we've gone the whole century here without anybody that's like, not even like that jumps into your brain a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Jahmyr Gibbs will be the next Barry Sanders.
I hope
about
so.
Time. We just had to wait 30 years for it. Here's another one where Kelvin Johnson will win in a landslide.
I would think so.
Clearly
the number one, yes.
But Jason, give some love to Jason Hansen. If you're a homie listening right now, give him one vote. One person
one
out there.
For him.
And I say that now, and everyone will do that. Yeah, now Jason Hansen will win.
Calvin Johnson doesn't get in.
We move on to the Packers now. We have more names to consider here for the Packers.
Yeah, we do.
We have three wide receivers, which I think is maybe the most interesting place to start here.
Yeah.
Because you had Donald Driver, who played from 99 to 2012. Jordy Nelson from 2008 to 2017.
Damn.
And, of course, Devontae Adams from 2014 to 2021. How many of those guys do we want to put in to the finalist group?
I actually am like, as we sit here and do this, like, you know, I'm actually like, okay, wait, this is the first one where I'm going, let me just refresh my brain here and look at stats and, like, go through it a little bit with, like, Donald Driver, right?
So Donald Driver, I think, is the all-time leader in many categories, receptions, receiving yards.
I believe you're right.
I think Donald Driver has to go in.
I would think Donald Driver and, you know, I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks Devontae Adams has got to go in too.
But I would also think that Jordy Nelson then would have to go in.
I know. Jordy was, well, I guess where I think about it with like Jordy Nelson was really good. But what, and again, was, but more a part of a little bit of a committee-ish, I guess, is where I change it. My thought and would favor Devontae Adams, where it was like, no. When Devontae was there, it was Devontae.
Yeah.
And that was it, right? So that's where it's like a little different, I think, in my estimation there. I think if you talk about like true just establishing yourself on the organization and the league and all that, like Jordy Nelson was never considered the top receiver in football, and Devontae Adams was.
Agreed. So two wide receivers here, Donald Driver and Devontae Adams.
I think
agreed
so.
With that.
I
Jordy
think
Nelson
so.
Is out. I'm sorry.
Right. Yep, that's okay. Now, on our list here, the guys on the right, I think, are the next three I want to say need to go in.
So Clay Matthews in, David Bakhtiari in, Charles Woodson in.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Right? I mean, Clay Matthews is the best pass rusher they've had this century. You know, I know Julius Peppers, and we've had a few other guys here and there who've certainly been good. Bakhtiari is... You know, I mean, he's a generational left tackle. And we know Charles Woodson's one of the greatest DBs in the history of football. And they don't win the Super Bowl without Charles Woodson. So that's where I lean on them. Man, they've had a lot of good players there. They really have. And good linemen. You see why they've been good. But it is also funny. They don't have, like, some of the stars I feel like we've seen in some of the other ones or some of the teams we'll see as we go along here.
Guard Josh Sitton was a four-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ.
Yep.
But
Corey Linsley, I mean, you talk about him. Hey, Aaron Jones is certainly special. Who else? Brian Bulaga was a damn good tackle. I mean, a lot of good players there to talk about, but I think we got the five right here.
Amon Green, four-time Pro Bowler.
Oh, man, he's the one that's going to hurt leaving off the list, I think. Amon, man, he's definitely one of those guys that I would say in my early part of my career, Ahmed, there's only a few in my life. But, like, I guess his was a little bit like, wow, I just didn't realize he was this good and that big and that thick and, like, that great body control. He was a really, really good football player. But, yeah, I don't think I'm going to put him on the list with these other five guys.
So the 2000s receiving stats Pete has put in here.
Yeah.
Donald Driver did have the most, 10,000 yards,
right,
and 740 catches. Most touchdowns was Devontae Adams with 73.
Yeah.
He had the second most receiving yards. Now, Jordy Nelson did have 69 touchdowns. That's why he sticks in our brains, because he bridged the gap, too, between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
Definitely.
So
he was a much, like, Jordy Nelson was a big play guy. You know, that's what people didn't realize. Came out of Kansas State, and he kind of played this weird stand-up tight end position at Kansas State, where they used to put their hands on their hips, if you remember that, back in the day.
I do remember that.
And he just came in the NFL and was like one of those guys where I think it's like a lot of white receivers. They go, oh, he's not going to run by me. He's not going to run by me. I'm going to squat on him a little bit. I'm not going to let him run the slant. Oh, no, he's running by me.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's a touchdown. I feel like a lot of people had to learn their lesson the hard way from Jordy Nelson.
So there it is. Devontae Adams, Donald Driver, David Bakhtiari, Clay Matthews, and Charles Woodson in for the Packers.
That'll be a close one.
That will be a close one.
I can't sit here and tell you. I would think Charles Woodson would win, I guess, but that I think is going to be very even in the voting.
One more team in the North, the Minnesota Vikings, the Fighting Florios. Let's put in.
I mean, the first guy we're putting in.
Adrian Peterson.
Definitely.
Is in.
Adrian Peterson, for me, is, you know, in person, he's the greatest running back I ever saw in my life. I can say that, like, not even blinking an eye.
Randy Moss is in.
I think so, too. I know it's only 5 years in this century, but it doesn't matter. It was the five best years anybody's had in the Vikings as far as receiver.
Yep.
So he's in. I'm with you there.
Justin Jefferson, not enough yet, I don't think.
No. I mean, I thought about him before we started the show just because a little bit where you want to go. It's been so good, though, for 2 years, and you're like, this year might be so good to where we go, damn, we should have had him on the list, right? But I think for the sake of the exercise, you know, I don't know. Let's flesh this out a little bit more.
Okay.
I'm not ready to cancel him out all the way.
Okay.
Not yet. Not for what he's doing and the rate in which he's doing it at.
Center Matt Burke was a 6-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion.
I mean, Burke and Hutchinson, right? You know, Steve Hutchinson. Hutchinson was the best guard in football, got all the money from the Seattle Seahawks.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He is. I think he's in, right?
And I think, well, hold on.
I know.
Burke is close, but I think Hutchinson is in.
I like what we got so far. We got Adrian, Randy, and Hutchinson. I think those are three slam dunks.
Yep.
Okay? Now, where we get into, like...
So Jared Allen.
Jared Allen, yes.
4-time All-Pro, 5-time Pro Bowler.
Damn, I know. And then the other aspect that I think I fall into with him is just that, you know, he was on the Chiefs too.
Yes.
And was damn good there as well, right? And then I'm going to throw another name in there that people don't realize because it's not sexy, but that's what we're here to do because we're the Legs and Ass podcast. Kevin Williams, the defensive tackle out of Oklahoma State. If you remember, he was the draft pick, the guy they picked when they didn't get the card up in time in that draft in 2003, right? Well, Kevin Williams is who they drafted. I got experience with him because he hit me a lot in college when I was at Texas State at Oklahoma State. But, like, there's, again, that's what sucks about football. He was awesome. He was an unbelievable defensive tackle. 11 years, kicked butt, staple of that defense, you know? Right, Pete's in my ear. They had the Williams wall. But, like, I don't know.
I think he goes in. I think he goes in.
You think we put him in?
Kevin Williams, yep.
Yeah, good. All right,
yep,
good. I like where we're going here. Now, the only other one to me here that's worth the conversation, right? And we've hit on it. I mean, so right now we have four, right? Or we have five?
We have four. Kevin Williams, Steve Hutchinson, Randy Moss, and Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Now, Matt Burke, Jared Allen, and I do think Harrison Smith probably should be in this combo, too. I mean, Harrison Smith is what? What are we going on here? You're 11?
I think you're right.
I mean, that's where this is a team that's got, you know, some history with safety, but I think he's going to go down and as the best safety in the history of the organization. You know, I don't know if he goes to the Hall of Fame. I don't think so, but I think he's like Ring of Honor, Minnesota Vikings type of player, right? So that's where I get into it, and that's where it's tough.
I think Harrison Smith.
You think Harrison
6-time
Smith?
6-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
His entire career with the Vikings up to this point.
Right.
I think he's in.
Right.
And I think Jared Allen's in. I think this is one where we go six?
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that. I am. I'm cool with that. I like the six we got right there.
Sorry, Justin Jefferson.
Yep. Sorry, Matt Burke. Damn, Matt Burke. Matt Burke lives around me. He might see this.
Oh, no. So do you want to just put him in? Skin off my back. No Adam Thielen as well.
No Adam Thielen.
Right there, really. He has the most receiving yards in the 2000s for the Vikings.
Yeah, man. You wouldn't think of that when you think about the Vikings overall. You know, I Eric Kendricks, he's another guy that, you know, again, now he left town. He's not on the team anymore. But, damn, I mean, he was really good for a while. You talk about, you know, Everson Griffin and the run he had there, you know, with Mike Zimmer and company. They got a lot of good honorable mentions, I guess is what we're saying. You see why the Vikings have kind of been relevant for the last 20 years
totally.
And torturing Florio.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up?
Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
All right, so we got six there for the Minnesota Vikings, and now we go on to the NFC South. We'll start with the Atlanta Falcons, and since we started with Randy Moss last time, I think we start with Julio Jones this time.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one. I think Julio and Tony Gonzalez. I want to say Tony Gonzalez. I'm not sure. I'm thinking.
So he is
a
Hall of Famer, yes, but it was 5 years in Atlanta, 12 with Kansas City.
It was a lot of good years of receptions and that. Work Done, I think, is one that would probably need to put on. I would say Work Done and Julio Jones right off the bat. I'm going to say yes.
Work Done, Julio Jones. Okay.
Yep. I'm going to go with those two.
Roddy White, another wide receiver, 2005 to 2015, 11 years.
I know. Man.
A staple of that offensive attack.
I know he put
up
some stats. I mean, they were legit there. You know, I think Grady Jarrett probably deserves to be on there.
I think Grady Jarrett too.
You know, I would argue Grady Jarrett's been the best defensive player on their team through the 2000s, right? Yep. You know, resulted in a Super Bowl appearance. He's a disruptor. He's an awesome football player. All right, so we got three right now.
Julio Dunn, Grady Jarrett.
What are we going to do with Gonzalez?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You want to save him from Kansas City?
He was pretty good when he was with Atlanta.
It was like 90 receptions every year, and they were like a number one or two seed, and Matt Ryan was feeding them the rock left and right. That's where it's tough.
But think of this. If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, who are you voting for, Tony Gonzalez or Julio Jones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely Julio.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I got you
there. So if he's borderline, let's dismiss him.
Yeah.
And we'll include him with the Kansas City Chiefs.
So we got Julio, Work Done, Grady Jarrett. I think Keith Brooking probably needs to be put on there.
Okay.
Keith Brooking, linebacker. Yep. He was a force. He was a really good football player.
Five-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah. And then this is where the fifth one is this is the hardest part of it. The fifth one between, Jonathan Abram, Michael Turner, who led the league in rushing, Algie Crumpler, who was a really good damn tight end. Alex Mack, who, when he was there, was the best center in football, right? Shanahan got him there from, I believe, Cleveland right before that, if I remember correctly. So what do you lean on this fifth one?
So it's the defensive end is John Abraham.
Yeah.
He led the Falcons in the 2000s with 68.5 sacks.
Yeah.
So I think he is in.
You think he's the guy?
I think he's in.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. I'll lean on that. He definitely was their best pass rusher of the century. That's for sure. They stole him from the New York Jets in free agency in 2006. I was on the Tampa Bay, and I was like, oh, gosh, they got Jonathan Abram. Damn, that's going to be, a little harder when we play Atlanta now.
Now, consider this with Julio Jones.
Yeah.
So Roddy White, 10,000 yards in the 2000s with the Falcons. Julio, 12,000 yards.
I know. Are we not giving Roddy his due respect here? Should we be putting Roddy White in over Jonathan Abram?
Ooh.
Or just put them both in? John Abram.
John
sorry,
Abraham.
Did I say Jonathan Abram?
We have to put him in now. We've disrespected him enough with his name.
The safety Jonathan Abram is getting me in my head. Sorry about that.
Let's give him six. Okay. Let's give him Roddy White, too.
Fine. All right. Let's cop out and give it six and put the pressure on the homies to narrow it down.
It's up to them now.
If Man, they this is not easy.
Him. This is not easy.
No. This is stressful, actually.
Moving on to the Panthers. It would have been a lot easier if we just had quarterbacks. Just been like, all right, some teams you just move on after the quarterback. But no, can't do that. Panthers we go. Let's see. I'm trying to look at the slam dunk guy first. Luke Kuechly?
Definite. I don't think there's any doubt. Julius Peppers? Definite.
Greg Olsen?
Yes. Wow, this is going to be easy. They're going to be the easiest ones yet.
Steve Smith?
Yes, 100%.
Christian McCaffrey?
I'm wanting to go more Thomas Davis, the guy who took my spleen.
Oh.
Right? Threw it on the floor and stepped on it.
You would do that?
And said, a mumshi bye, you shall die. No, man, Thomas Davis was fucking awesome, man. Damn. They had some players there in Carolina. They were the scariest defensive line I played against on a regular basis in my short time in the NFL. All right, Steve Smith, Greg Olsen, Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, guaranteed four. Uh-huh. I want to tend to go to Thomas Davis. I do. Thomas Davis, to me, is, you know, yeah, he was one of the better linebackers in football there for a while. He was certainly him and Kuechly, the captain of the ship on that 2015 Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Right? 2016, I think that was. Yes, 2016. 2015, I'm right.
You want to be the bigger man here. You want to be the bigger man, despite what he did to you.
I don't care what he did to me. But I do think he deserves to be in this voting here. I do. We know the talent McCaffrey is, but McCaffrey too. Like last year was so like okay, he played there in 22. It wasn't that special, right? 21, he was hurt.
Right.
Right. So that's where I want to go. Yeah, he was special, and he's one of the more special players they've had. But I don't know if he's the best Panther that they've had. If I had to really break it down over that time.
Agreed. D'Angelo Williams, like a running back, the longevity was there for him. But I don't think he makes the cut either.
I don't think so either. To me, it's the next guys are like Chris Jenkins of the world, awesome defensive tackle, who was the other part of taking my spleen away, right? He would have been. And I guess that's it. Like, I did think, like, were Mushin Muhammad's stats worthy or anything of being in this conversation, Pete? Like, that was the other one that kind of just popped in my brain.
Michigan State guy.
Yeah, right. I mean, of course, you know, he was a huge part of their Super Bowl run when they lost to the Patriots, had the big touchdown catch in that game. I mean, yeah, right. 6,000 yards, Pete says, right? So he was a good player, definitely one of the legends of their franchise, but he's not going to make this list.
So if you go by, for running backs here, if you go by rushing yards in the 2000s,
right.
It was actually Jonathan Stewart with the most, 7,300, and he had 51 touchdowns. D'Angelo Williams was second with 6,800.
Yeah.
And then Christian McCaffrey with just under 4,000.
Yeah, so. Smash and Dash. That's what they tried to, to change their name. They tried to take Chris Johnson and Lindell White, who called them smell. I can still remember in the locker room. They had already called themselves Smash and Dash, CJ2K and Lindell White, right? But somebody comes to them. I remember walking by Lindell White's locker, and they're going, you know, the Carolina guys are calling themselves Smash and Dash. And he's like, well, we've had this nickname for like 6 weeks. He's like, so you could just start calling them fraud and fraudulent. And it made me laugh. I stopped in my tracks when he said that, but he was so quick-witted.
You can't take someone else's nickname. That's lowest of lows.
Right.
What about our two linemen here, Ryan Khalil and Jordan Gross?
Yeah.
Good, but probably not good enough.
I mean... Yeah, it's a strong team here. This is a pretty strong five. It's hard. Like, Khalil's awesome, and so is Jordan Gross. But I don't know. The five we are, and, yeah, maybe we're a little prone to sexiness and stats and all that to where, yeah, I think it's going to be between these five. Back to your main thing. None of those two, Ryan Khalil or Jordan Gross, are going to win this exercise.
Agreed. Maybe a lineman will get more love with the New Orleans Saints as we move on to them, although they do have some good skill players. I think, first of all...
Yes, first of all, what do you think?
I think Alvin Kamara is in. running back.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
You also have Deuce McAllister there.
Damn. They got some good ones, too, here. I think Cameron Jordan's definitely in.
Cam Jordan's in.
We know that. I think Jahri Evans is definitely in.
Okay. Offensive lineman from 2006 to 2016.
I think I'll go with you on the Alvin Kamara thing. I think you're right there. I don't think you're wrong to say that.
I mean, he has, like, been their team.
Yeah, exactly. They situated their team around him. Right. I think that's a very real, valid point by you. Now, you know, Will Smith would be another one I'd probably throw on there. You know, Will Smith, again, you know, the late, great Will Smith, who was, you know, unjustly murdered because of a road rage incident, right? He was the Cameron Jordan of his time, right? The guy where it's like, yeah, he doesn't get 15 sacks a year, but damn, we don't want to run at him. Damn, we can't leave our tackle one-on-one against him all the time. We got to help him out a little bit, right? So he wasn't like Julius Peppers, don't get me wrong, but like kind of one of the unknown forces in the NFL on defensive line that I don't think people knew how damn good he was. So that's where I want to lean on that a little
bit. Sure, we'll give him the credit that he did not get during his playing career.
I think so. I like that. Okay, cool. All right, so now this is the hard part, though, here now. So we got four, right?
Yep.
I just don't know what to do with the fifth. I mean, Roman Harper was a hell of a player. I mean, Mark Ingram was a hell of a player. Michael Thomas, who's disappeared for the last 3 years, which is what makes me think we don't want to put him on the list. You know, I don't. Joe Horn is certainly in my thoughts here. What do you lean on here?
That's hard.
You know, I don't know either. I'm a little stuck here with this one. I think if I was really going to be true to it and talk about, I feel like we should go Roman Harper. That's what I feel like.
So safety, played from 2006 to 2013, then back again in 2016.
Yep, from Alabama. You know, Alabama, of course, part of their, you know, NFC team that lost to the Bears in the championship game and the one that won the Super Bowl. Right, he was really phenomenal.
Two-time Pro Bowler.
Yep. You know, do we want to put him? Is Jimmy Graham? Are we being stupid there, Jimmy Graham? You know, Jimmy Graham was such a force of nature. It was only a 5-year run. But he was, like, a true game changer. As I tell people all the time, Jimmy Graham is bigger than Gronk. I know people probably can't realize that, but if you saw Jimmy Graham next to Gronk, you'd go, oh, my gosh, I never thought that Jimmy Graham was bigger than him. You know, he wasn't as physical and didn't block like him, and I think that's what can be maybe leads to that perception there. But you talk about one-on-ones or a big guy who can box you out and jump up and get the ball and do all that, that's where I'm a little torn here. You know, so what do we want to go there? Like 4 or 5 years of great stats, but the guy also wasn't a great run blocker, and which is, I think, also the reason that led him to go into Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. He had 5 Pro Bowls, but two of them were in Seattle.
Yeah.
He was All-Pro one time, second team All-Pro another time in New Orleans. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we just lean on Roman Harper?
Boy, this is tough because I also think that.
Yeah.
You know, what? Joe Horn needs some love.
Yeah.
But another name here, Marcus Colston.
I know. Marcus Colston was the invention of the big slot. I mean, that's what he is. He gave them the idea to go, wait, we don't need Michael Thomas to be on the outside. We can put him inside and let him do that. So that's,
I think.
You want to go Colston or Horn?
I like Marcus Colston.
Want to go Colston?
Or is it, as Pete says in my ear, is it one of those situations where they're all kind of close and so none of them make it? Like no one has separated themselves enough from each other to where Pete's now saying he likes Marcus Colston.
Yeah.
Almost 10,000 yards in the 2000s.
I know.
72 Colston, touchdowns.
Roman Harper.
If you're going to pick a skill player.
Malcolm Jenkins, I think of him.
That's a pass catcher.
Yeah. All right, I think let's go with him.
Marcus Colston?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
You know, I recognize that Michael Thomas is a better talent than him, but he hasn't done it as long or to the, you know, the consistent quality that Colston has. So I think that's fair. You know, the problem with that is, too, is Horn was a bigger play guy. So people are going to look at that and go, well, man, Horn, you know, he could take you deep and do all that stuff. But I think we're okay with Marquise Colston. I like that.
All right, so there we go. We got our 5 for the New Orleans Saints. We did not put Teron Armstead in there. four-time Pro Bowler, but we're okay with that.
I think so. Okay. He's definitely another part of the group where you go, man, he's just on the outside looking in, but definitely thought about him.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Boom.
A list of names mostly on defense here for the Bucs.
Stacked on defense. Stacked. And you just look at it right away and go, damn, there's four guys on defense that have to be on here.
So Warren Sapp is in. Although, hold on here.
Yeah, okay.
We're looking late 90s.
I know. It's only 4 years of the 2000s, right? But it is like those 4 years were like insanity good. So that's where it's tough. All right, I'm right off the bat. I mean, Rondé Barber, yes, right? 100%.
Rondé Barber. Yes. Is in, yep.
Derek Brooks, 100%.
In.
Right?
I think Warren Sapp is in, too. He was first-team All-Pro in three of the 4 years there in Tampa.
He was unblockable. He was Aaron Donald of that time.
Yes.
So even though that's a short period of time, he's Tampa, I think so.
Yep.
I think you probably got to put Simeon Rice in, too. That's just my base thoughts off the top. We can discuss that. But Simeon Rice... You know, I think he's the best pass rusher in franchise history. He's a borderline Hall of Fame talent. He's over 100 sacks career, right, Simeon Rice? I know they weren't all with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's got some there with the Arizona Cardinals as well. But, gosh.
He did lead them in sacks in the 2000s. It was Rice and then McCoy and then Shaq Barrett, 40 and a half.
Right.
And Warren Sapp at 35. What about Gerald McCoy, though? You'd put in Simeon Rice over Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle?
I think I would. McCoy was really good.
Six-time Pro Bowler.
I know. He was. I mean, it was. Oof. Yeah, I mean, him and Sue there for a while, they were considered, you know, the top two guys at that position. That is. No, I still think I'd go Simeon.
Okay.
I still think I would. Now, to me, where I like where our four we got right now in Sapp, Brooks, Barber, Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like to your McCoy question, McCoy, Lavonte David, Mike Evans, and Mike Alstott. That's where I tend to lean in that conversation.
What do you mean?
Like, for that fifth one,
yes.
Who is it? Who is it out of those five? McCoy, Evans, Alstott, Lavonte David. Out of those four right there, who would you pick to be that fifth guy?
So Lavonte David, I think, is in the Hall of Very Good.
Yes.
And has been consistently good.
Yes.
So I think we throw him out.
Okay. Okay. Mike Evans, he's been one of the best receivers in football. His stats are way better than people realize.
Yes.
And he was the number one target for a Super Bowl winning team when Tom Brady came there.
He's got over 10,000 yards. He's in.
I think so.
Mike Evans
right?
is in.
I think so. We're talking about the generation of like the receiver and like they got one. So this one was a tough for me, and maybe I'm not the best to do the Bucks because I have too many personal ties here. Right, because I look at Mike Alstott and I'm like, oh man, we're not going to put Mike Alstott in.
I know that is one. Whereas he was a three-time All-Pro.
I know.
Did any of those? Although
I think they all happened maybe. Before.
They did all happen before the year
they
2000.
Did, right?
So Mike Alstott, he should have been born 4 years later,
damn.
And then he would be on this list.
The train, Mike Alstott, choo choo.
Yes, yes, and John Lynch.
Yeah, John Lynch, great too. But I think his best years were before the 2000s.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
There's a reason that. When I was in Tampa there at the end, that they didn't want to resign him, and he ended up going to the Denver. So, yeah, again, I mean, we know he's awesome, but I think as far as the 2000s concerned, that wasn't exactly, his prime or at that point exactly. Yeah. I think we got that right.
So there we go. We got Mike Evans, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice, Derek Brooks, and Rondé Barber for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. I'm gonna shine my way. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
And we got one more division to go here. We go out west. The NFC West. We'll start with the Cardinals. Not a whole lot of names. This is reminiscent of our Detroit Lions discussion.
I think it's sometimes nice when there's no, because I think it's pretty concise.
we have a break. We can take a team off.
Yeah, there's not a lot of thinking on this one.
There's not a lot of thinking. No. So we got Larry Fitzgerald.
Damn.
In.
Bam.
No doubt about it.
Yep. Calais Campbell.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Anquan Boldin, I think we're no doubt about it.
You think?
I think so. Okay, let me dial that back. Let's go Calais and Fitzgerald, no doubt about it. Patrick Peterson, no doubt about it.
Yes.
Right? Those three right off the bat. And in fact, I'm going to throw Adrian Wilson in there too. I think Adrian Wilson's probably is worthy of that. Adrian Wilson is ahead of his time. You know, the guy that you're looking at right now, they're going like, is he a linebacker or safety or, you know, all that? The guy that can play in the box and be all that, that was Adrian Wilson. He was before his time that way. So that's where, you know, again, I know maybe some of the, you know, not everyday fans might not know exactly who he is, but that's when you got to trust me. And I go, he is really, really awesome football player.
Yeah, 5-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
1-time All-Pro.
Yep.
Played his whole career.
In Arizona. Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's worth it. He's, you know, and he's too, though, I think football people would appreciate him more, right? He's one of those, like, when we played Arizona, you were like, oh, we got a game plan for Adrian Wilson. Like, when he's here, this blitz comes. When he's there, they play this coverage. When he's here, it unlocks, like, 4 blitzes. So we don't know which one's coming. And then that's where he was a special player. So now it's the 5th one that we're worried about. And that, to me, where it goes into Anquan Boldin or Darnell Dockett.
Okay.
Right? I think it's those two. That's how I would look at it.
Chandler Jones, not in the discussion.
Not, you know, great little run. I don't think it was long enough or substantial enough. Damn, but it is 71.5 sacks. Wow, that's pretty impressive. That is. Jeez. Wow. Jones is tough, just Chandler Jones, because, I mean, it was the 4 or 5 years before that with the Patriots, too, right? Yeah. I tend to want to go, what do you feel with Dockett or Anquan Boldin?
I think Anquan Boldin, though. I'm
not.
I loved Anquan Boldin. Yeah. He was a great receiver, but I think Larry Fitzgerald passed him, and
so
makes
it a
moot
you're
point.
Saying it makes it a moot point.
Kind of.
I got you. So then let's go Darnell Dockett. I like that. I like their reasoning. Let's do that.
And no Chandler Jones?
Gosh. So I feel like this is where I have a hard problem. I think of Darnell Dockett so much more of a fabric of Arizona Cardinal football team than I do Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So Chandler Jones.
I guess so. I guess it's the Super Bowl run that makes me think of it that way. And I know that the stats don't tell the whole story about a Darnell Dockett, right? Dockett was one of those guys that was a fuck the play up. He played defense end. He played defensive tackle, right? It wasn't always going to be 12 and 15 sacks. That's not what he was. But that doesn't mean he wasn't awesome, right? So that's where, like, the numbers aren't going to back it up compared to Chandler Jones. Chandler's going to look much more impressive.
So I think we put in Dockett because of that.
Okay.
But I think we have to have Jones in there.
You think we put him
in there
too? I
think this is one because he was, you know, all pro 2 years.
Yeah, I guess
he was
led the NFL
third in defensive player of the year voting in 2017. He was second in voting in 2019.
Shit, I know. See, you forget about that. There's a few years there that I forget about Chandler Jones and how dominant he was. All right, I
so
like that.
Good. We got 6.
Good.
We got 6
Fine.
For the Cardinals.
Cool. You're wearing red pants, and that makes sense. You go Cardinals.
Bias to doing that. We go to the Rams, St. Louis, Los Angeles. Aaron Donald is in.
This might be one of the hardest ones
to single out who should not make this list.
Yeah, I mean, look what we're looking at right here. Say the names just right off the bat.
So Marshall Faulk,
right?
Steven Jackson,
right.
Todd Gurley, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Cooper Kupp, Orlando Pace, and Aaron Donald. Yeah, who are we going to leave off?
I mean, Aaron Donald and Orlando Pace get in. I mean, they're so that's for sure. See you later there.
Names that Pete has as like also worth consideration. You got Andrew Whitworth.
It's insane, right? I mean, there's Robert Quinn's in there.
Robert Quinn,
right? Chris Long, Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey. Damn. What do you think there, big guy?
So Marshall Faulk, I think, is
100%. We got to put Marshall Faulk in. We got to put Orlando Pace in. And we got to put Aaron Donald in, right?
Yes.
It's those three for sure.
So Steven Jackson has over 10,000 yards with the Rams in the 2000s.
I feel like we got to take him.
I feel like he has to go
in, too. He has to. And, like, again, it's unfortunate that he never got to be on really good teams. But he was... Like, Steven Jackson is, you know, again, another one of those guys, Amma, that you hear me joke about all the time. Like, when he walks in the room, you're like, wait, that's Steven Jackson? I'm in the NFL, and I can't believe that's Steven Jackson, right? It's that, right? I can remember being at the Nike giveaway store at the Super Bowl in 2006, Colts-Bears Super Bowl, right? And, like, Nike always has, like, you know, I was sponsored by Nike, so...
Yes.
They'd always be like, hey, come by our suite. And you were like, always like, yes, because you know you're going to get free shit, uh-huh. Right? And, you know, when I came in, yeah, I had somebody bring me around real quick. Oh, you like this? Like this. Steven Jackson was the man. He had like a team of Nike people around him, right? They were like going to do a commercial with him. But I remember I had never seen him in person, right? And I just saw this guy sitting in the chair and I could just see a back and white t-shirt. And I was like, who the fuck's back is that? That is the most jacked back and shoulders and neck I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, it had a big head on there, too. And I'm just going, who is this person? Because, like, it had the head and, like, the neck of, like, you would think, like, a D-tackle or somebody. But you could tell the back and the shoulders were ripped and it wasn't a D-tackle. And then I kind of got on the edge of it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's Steven Jackson. Did not know he was that thick and that big.
Yeah.
And then he stood up, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Do people have to tackle him? That's not fair. I mean, he's one of those for sure.
For that alone, he is on this team. He is in the finalist grouping. And he had over 10,000 yards, rushing yards, mm-hmm. in the 2000s for the Rams. Surprisingly, Marshall Faulk only had 5,500.
I know.
But there were some great yards, and he had more scrimmage yards because he was a threat.
He was a threat.
Through the air.
It's like maybe the greatest dual threat.
Do we leave off Todd Gurley?
It was an unbelievable run, but I think so, just because it was quick. And even if you look at the 2019 season, that wasn't even a real season for him. He wasn't even like himself there, really.
Right.
So I really look at it and go, that was a four-year run. I think the real conversation here now is the receivers.
So Isaac Bruce is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
But most of his damage came
in the late
90s, 2000,
right?
And he was very good after
right.
2000, but he was not his best.
So now then you get into Torrey Holt and Cooper Kupp. Torrey Holt did all his dirty work pretty much in the 2000s, right? Except for 99, which is the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then Cooper Kupp, it's what are we at? We're going into year 7? So, gosh, it's only 2 years behind Torrey Holt, but it is a Super Bowl MVP. To add on to that too, and offensive player of the year. So that's like, there's some double whammy stuff right there. What do you think?
But he's only been over that year was amazing. And an all time year.
Is it his only year?
But he's been over 1,000 yards
twice,
2019, and then 2021. So I think, and then last year, would have been except for the injury.
So I think we're saying
he's
Torrey
not there
Holt.
Yet. He's not there. Torrey Holt is in.
I think so. All right. Okay.
And Isaac Bruce is a no. Even though he's in the Hall of Fame, a lot of that came before the year 2000. Great player.
Yeah.
So Marshall Faulk, Steven Jackson, Torrey Holt, Orlando Pace, Aaron Donald.
I think
that's a good group.
That's a damn good group.
All right, move on to the 49ers, the fighting Kyle Shanahans, who have had some very successful teams. This is going to be another difficult one,
Is it going to be? I mean, yes. Holy crap.
So let me think. The slam dunks are ready. I think you go Navarro Bowman, slam dunk.
Patrick Willis, slam dunk.
Patrick Willis, slam dunk.
Joe Staley, slam dunk.
Joe Staley, slam dunk.
I think so. Frank Gore, slam dunk.
Frank Gore, slam dunk.
So that's four dunks.
Terrell Owens again, no, because it was 96 through 2003.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think it's enough in the 2000s.
Yeah, I hear you there. I tend to lean that way too.
So this is an interesting one. Vernon Davis and George Kittle.
I know. You know, so Vernon Davis, that's what, 10 years there. Kittle, we're going into year 7. Whew. Man, Kittle's a better player than Vernon Davis, for sure. I know he hasn't done it as long, but, I mean, Kittle, like we've had since we've been working together, we've gone, what, 4 years in a row of going with Kelce or Kittle or Kittle or Kelce, right?
So I think Kittle is over Vernon Davis, but is he in the top five?
I know. That's the part about this that's a little, right?
So we can cross off Vernon Davis. We can cross off Terrell Owens.
Justin Smith, who's a phenomenal football player, right? Gosh, I mean, you think about them. Alden Smith back in the day there when they were going to the Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh and company. All right, so right now we're Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Joe Staley, Frank Gore, and we're down to one other one.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Young, yes, is in the Hall of Fame. He did do his best work in the 90s.
I think so.
So I don't know if we want to put him there, right?
No.
Is there anybody, I mean, is Nick Bosa, are we going to count him quite yet? No,
not
right?
Yet. I don't think, not yet.
Justin Smith, who was on that 2012 Super Bowl losing team, came from Missouri.
Such a big part of that team.
He was. I mean, he's another guy it's a phenomenal football player. Again, the stats and the sacks, they're not going to really say it. But, all right, this is where I think to your point, like, Justin Smith is not going to beat out Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman.
Right.
So that's where I think we go. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Joe Staley, Frank Gore, and George Kittle.
So here is an argument for Vernon Davis, even though we've eliminated him already.
Yeah.
He had 55 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he had more receiving yards than Kittle. However, it was more seasons,
too. Yes, it was. He's a 10 season, but yes. I think the other thing with Kittle you got to remember is just he's a great blocker.
Yep.
He is one of those guys that's considered to be the best run-blocking tight ends in football. So that's where I lean to him there. And I think, too, even though Vernon's success is real, right, a lot more is framed around Kittle. Kittle's really like Vernon, even though he was good, it was a little bit like, hey, when it comes your way, you get the ball. Great. Where it's like Kittle's so good, they're like, no, we gotta let's draw some more plays and more offense around him and do everything around him. I guess I lean on that a little bit.
All right, one more name to throw at you here.
Yeah.
Ahmad Brooks.
Oh, man.
Leading the 49ers in sacks in the 2000s.
Like he's Lance Briggs of the 40, the Bears. This is the 49ers version. Oddly enough, he wore 55, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But same type of thing. You know, when I was working for New England then or whatever, he was the guy that nobody talked about. But when you turned on the film and had a breakdown, you were going, who is this guy? He is a player, this Brooks. Holy cow. Just a, Willie McGinnis-ish type. Rush the passer, dominant in the run game on the edge. He was phenomenal. He really was. I don't think he makes the list.
Are you sure?
I think.
Leading the 49ers in sacks in the 2000s.
I know.
Overshadowed. Like you said, by Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman.
Yes.
Matt Casey has put his vote in as no.
No.
I like his name, Ahmad. It's a good-sounding name.
We know you do. Yeah, I think so. The leading the sacks thing is it's a little bit number of games. Alden Smith got in trouble. You know, Nick Bosa is going to pass that up this year, right?
Yeah.
So, a really good player, but I don't think he makes it in this one.
I'm on board.
All right.
And just to solidify how good Frank Gore was with the 49ers, over 11,000 rushing yards and 76 touchdowns.
Yes, sir.
In his tenure with San Francisco. And one of Jim Harbaugh's favorite players, and Frank Gore loves Jim Harbaugh. I'm predisposed to like that.
We have to question that, then.
Yeah, I like that. That's a red flag for you.
We put Gore in, for sure.
Yeah, Gore
for
is sure. In.
We got our five.
Pete has confirmed the final of the 49ers finalist group. And then we have one more team, the Seattle Seahawks. And
they got some good ones, man.
Again.
I mean, it's.
So the two safeties, Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor.
I know.
Are both in, right?
Yeah. Richard Sherman and Bobby Wagner. You going to leave them off?
And they've got to be in too, don't they?
I guess.
Marshawn Lynch has to be in.
We're in trouble with the Seahawks.
So Marshawn Lynch and Sean Alexander, that's an interesting discussion.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, go ahead. Some other ones because Walter Jones is in this conversation. Oh. Walter Jones is one of the greatest tackles ever, right? I mean, and the majority of his career was in the 2000s. Michael Bennett, you know me. That's my favorite mofo ever.
God, are we going to put all these guys
in? I mean, I almost wanted. The only problem with Michael Bennett is that, yeah, he's not legitimately going to win this. I want to put him in there because I know how awesome he was. He's the originator of Fuck the Playup. That's Michael Bennett. When I started doing podcasts, that was the guy. Where I was just like, man, I don't know. This guy right here, this guy, oh, my gosh, Michael Bennett. You know, people be like, he didn't have a tackle in the game. I want to go watch the game with me and let's go see the effect he had. Right? But I don't think there's any doubt that we have to put Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Bobby Wagner on the team.
They have to be in.
They have to be. Marshawn Lynch has to be.
So we should look at Marshawn Lynch and Sean Alexander together.
Yeah, let's dissect that together.
Pete is doing that. While he tabulates some numbers here.
Yeah, right.
Steve Hutchinson, we put him in with the Vikings already.
I know.
So I think even though you could make a case for him with the Seahawks as well.
Yeah. What was his accolades for that 2001 to 2005 run he had with the Hawks here?
Two-time All-Pro.
Right.
Pro Bowl 3 years. And then with Minnesota, he was three-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
Pro Bowl 4 years. Yeah. So I think we got the right team
with
him.
And I think if we're going to go an offensive lineman here, we go Walter Jones.
Yes. Okay. Right? So Walter Jones, Hutchinson out, Walter Jones in.
Yep. So now we got to figure out between Marshawn Lynch and Sean Alexander.
All right. The numbers are pretty clear here. Sean Alexander, 9,400 rushing yards in the 2000s, 100 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch, 6,000 rushing yards, 58 touchdowns.
Mm, man.
Now fewer seasons.
Yeah. But not by
Marshawn,
much.
Marshawn, but not by much.
Yeah, it's only 1 year less.
He was Marshawn was the heart of that team.
He was, but, you know, whatever, you know, damn, you know, so was Sean. I mean, it wasn't like maybe not quite the personality, you know, Marshawn Lynch. But, damn, I mean, when you played the Seattle Seahawks, you knew you were getting a heavy dose of Sean Alexander and some good precision passing from Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, he won the NFL MVP.
I think we go Sean Alexander, and we do not go Marshawn Lynch.
I think you're probably right. This could be the first time. I think it's fair to say, you know, I mean, I don't think the running back's going to win it no matter what.
I don't
think
so either.
Right?
People do love Marshawn Lynch, but that defense is
defense
Seattle.
Is the story, I would think.
Legion of Doom.
All right. I lean on you. I know I want Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Bobby Wagner, and Walter Jones on it, for sure. Those, to me, would be my five. And then if you want to add on Alexander and Marshawn Lynch, Pete's telling me he wants to do seven here.
Pete's made the executive decision
seven Seahawks.
To go seven. We just got tired at the end. We got tired of making decisions at the end. It is a tight one. It could
that might have been the hardest
one. Yes.
Actually, it really was.
All right, we did it. Wow. Okay.
That was a hard exercise.
That was kind of hard.
I actually have a headache.
We just remembered some dudes right there. Are we done now, Pete? I don't even know how long we've been going here. I think that's good. Okay, so we didn't get to the Ask Me Anything questions on the quarterbacks, but we've talked about quarterbacks enough already, right?
Enough quarterbacks.
Enough quarterback talk.
All we did is draft quarterbacks, top 40 quarterback list. Yeah. I mean, come on. And then we'll hit on it. We'll get to the good ones on Wednesday. Let's try to take a moment, maybe at the start of the pod there, where we just hit on a few.
I don't know. We got the AFC
prevailing,
to do. We got
prevailing
the AFC
ones.
To do.
Okay. Well, we don't have to then. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Either way, I know there's some things that people want me to discuss or flush out with the quarterback rankings, and I probably got a few things to say myself. But
do it on your own time.
We'll figure it out.
Just call them up on the phone.
Yeah,
call up those people on the phone.
Yeah, no problem. I'll sit there on social media all day and do that. No problem.
So after the show, we're going to post a link on social media to give you guys a vote so you guys can go vote. So we'll do it for the NFC and then the AFC separately, Pete, or will it all be one big Google document? TBD. We're going to talk about a lot of things after the show.
You know where to find us. Come find us. Get your votes in, all right? We got the NFC. We're trying to make the best player of the century. All 16 teams in the NFC, all 16 in the AFC coming Wednesday. No quarterbacks, but let's solidify this. I think it's a good exercise. Try to figure out who the fans like, how they view it as, and you get a little bit of like a in-town bias a fan bias here that I like about it too.
I'll be curious to hear the biggest pushback on some of the players that we excluded.
Yeah, there's gonna be two or three where we're gonna go, damn, we might have messed up on that, I'm sure. But I think we did a pretty good job.
And then Pete'll just put them in.
We definitely didn't miss any winners. That's where I feel like.
I don't think so.
We got the top two or three. The 3, 4, 5 can be a little debatable for sure. I get you. All right, everybody. You know where to find us. Amen, thanks for driving the ship as always. You look so cute today in your red pants with your t-shirt and red trim.
Thanks for saving that for the end of the podcast.
No problem there, Slugger. Morgan, way to go. Thanks for staying quiet over there. She didn't say anything today. She didn't yell at us. Nothing. No laughs. Nothing. She didn't spill anything.
Not even a sneeze, I don't think I heard.
Jeez, nothing. No sneeze, nothing. All right, everybody, be good. Have a good next 2 days. We'll see you Wednesday. AFC exercise. Best players in the AFC Century 21, whatever the hell it is.
Century 21.
We'll see you there.
Real safe, bro.
All right. Peace out. Clap it up.
We're closing average.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.